So I expressed earlier. I expressed earlier with the flooding presentation that I was an imposter. I am much more of an imposter when it comes to 100 resilient cities. However, I do have some inside information and I have a presentation created by the resilience officer. Before I do the presentation, I would like to talk to you purely personal opinion here, and I'll be open to challenge by the other New Zealanders, a little bit about what Christchurch is, because it's not a business as usual city. It is a city that is recovering from a disaster. And there's some key elements in that which affect the way it will approach the 100 Resilient Cities process. First and foremost, it has new governance. 18 months ago, the elected representatives of the city, there was an election for elected representatives of the city on what we call the City Council, and there was significant change in the structure of those representatives. In particular, there were four or five new members who came from the higher socioeconomic sector of the city where the existing members were thrown out. Quite significant change of voting. In the lower socioeconomic areas, the existing people got in without much change. But the effect of that is that we have an administration, an elected body that is quite different. And it is very overtly on a path of focused recovery for the city, of engagement of the people, of decisiveness, and of creating a new city administration. Now, that's what it says it wants to do in public, and it's, you could say, progressively working towards that. It's not dramatic change. So that's an important element of why Christchurch is not business as usual. Another one is that over the last 4 years since the disaster, it has had a very difficult relationship with central government. On the one hand, because it regards central government as being the godfather who's not delivering, but also the central government attitude towards the city, in my personal opinion, is that the city maybe can't be trusted to process properly, to carry out its task. And so that dynamic, the city has a positive attitude to try and overcome that dynamic and improve the relationship. Another factor is that a new environment is being created in Christchurch. The central business district, you saw plan from that earlier, is markedly changed from what it was intended to be markedly changed from what it was previously. But that change is happening in slow motion. Another factor, and this particularly relates to resilience, is the people of Christchurch are learning about resilience every day the hard way. So if we were to ask someone in the street in Rome what resilience is, you would get a wide variety of answers and maybe a lot of I don't know. If you go to Christchurch and ask the same question, you will get some very emphatic answers. They'll vary, but you'll get the people of Christchurch know firsthand what resilience is. So it's not normal. And my personal opinion, there are two other major factors about the people of the city, one of which is I believe there's a sense of optimism for the future. So it is not a city that's just working along day to day. But also, I believe there is a sense of exhaustion through the city. We've been at this task for 4 years now, and it's still a long, hard grind. So this little city of 350,000 people isn't approaching the 100 resilient cities opportunities in the same way as other cities around the world. Having said that, it's my clear understanding that the city council is approaching this opportunity very positively. It wants to create focus on the fundamentals of the operation of the city and improve them. And It sees the resilient cities process as a chance to help focus that. Now, the resilience officer of the city has been appointed and has been in place for some months now. I know him personally, and this is back to the relationships thing that we talked about yesterday. He and I worked together in the rebuild of infrastructure after the first earthquake and before the second, the big aftershock. I know that he is very challenged by the role. He is challenged by defining what process should we enter into. He's challenged by having defined or begun to define that process by shaping it and driving it. He's also challenged around him by a lot of questioning of the process. Why would we do this? And he's also challenged day to day by outright resistance. Don't bother us with this. Having said that, I'll take you through his presentation of where he is at with the process of the resilient cities. You've seen that image many times now. When you think about the damage, though, you then focus on what is critical infrastructure. And it's clear that the fundamentals of this small trading nation, which is on the far side of the earth and surrounded by a lot of water, has some absolutely fundamental infrastructures. It can't function without these two, because it can't exist on its own without that high level of external trade which drives its economy. But then it comes down to secondary levels, but still important. It needs to treat its water. Oh, I beg your pardon. And these are Mike's identifications, not mine. The link between the port and the city is quite important, and the most direct route is by tunnel. An alternative is a long way around. Water supply. Now, water supply is down on the list in Christchurch because it is not a city that depends on large reservoirs and major conduits. It draws its water from wells underneath the city, untreated, beautifully pure water from over 100 wells. And those go into a pumping network, which has a very high level of resilience to anything. Shocks, bombs, whatever. Even poisoning. So it has a very high level of resilience, and it can be chopped and changed and rerouted very easily. It has primary roads, but it's served by many roads, so we're getting down a little now when we're identifying critical infrastructures. It has, yes, some limited bridges from the main rivers to the borders of it, but there are other ways around in most cases. The Risks and Realities program has begun, and a report has been created relating to this that helps identify risks and gives them priorities and classifications, if you like. And that report also addresses challenges, and you can read that as well as I can. And in that process, Christchurch is just beginning to do the assembly of data that others have spoken about today. So this process for Christchurch is very much in its infancy. And creating tools, and some of these have been created as a result of the earthquakes, technology investment, explain that acronym. It's to do with radar that identifies the surface profile of the city, which identifies change. CCTV, I've told you earlier today, we've spent a massive amount of money on understanding the underground infrastructure, and that's all captured. And as a result of the flooding, we have some understanding of waterway modelling, not complete. Never mind the detail of the table, we're now getting down to beginning the process of Yes, there's some nodding going on in the front row from Rome, of detail identification and classification. And a tool is being developed which helps map these critical assets and their vulnerabilities. There is a risk tool that has been shared and that is being applied. But this, sorry, I beg your pardon, I've dropped out of it. This process is very much in its infancy. I can't speak off the cuff to the presentation. I'll have to go back to it. So, through. Pardon me. I hope it's not me because this little pointer is mine. That'll do. Oh, over here. Yeah. Yes. Gently. Nope. Maybe the battery is going? No, it's got plenty of life in there. Okay, but the overall perspective is that this process in Christchurch is just beginning. And what has impressed Mike in his early stages of interaction with other cities around the world is that we're in comparable states of evolution, of focus, and so on. And whilst he is dealing with a non-business-as-usual city, compared with, say, Rome. Nevertheless, the attitude and the awareness is quite similar. Mike is also quite blown away by thinking, by his presumption that Christchurch was one of the most disturbed cities in the world, by going to the conference in Los Angeles of the resilient cities a few months ago. Not Los Angeles, of New Orleans, a few months ago, because there he realized that there are at least 10 other large cities in the world that have got very serious problems as well, most of them from war and conflict, but we're not alone in that regard. That's it. It's the last one. Okay, so I'm an imposter. I can't pretend to answer questions about the detail of the Resilient Cities program, but that gives perspective on where Christchurch is at.